Can we talk something else? Can we talk about something else?
Hello out there. The following is a special release from the new Dark Topic Patreon. Dark Topic is no longer part of 1159 Media. For more exclusive Dark Topic content like Dark Topic Gallows, visit patreon.com/darktopic. If you enjoy what you hear here today, let me know with a review or reach out on social media. I plan on dropping a gallows on the Dark Topic public feed every month. If so, Dark Topic Gallows, as the title suggests, includes gallows humor between myself and co-host Kent Chungus. Gallows is not meant to replace Dark Topic. This is just more, and you can expect a lot more DT in general moving forward. In the beginning of this episode, you'll hear a little uncut preamble between Kent and myself to give you a feel for our dynamic before the episode starts. Okay, on with the show. So we're good, but that's a part of my problem in life too, is that I think that I need to make friends with everybody. I take it as a challenge.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Also hate the idea that somebody doesn't like me.
Mm-hmm. Same. That's low self-esteem, I think.
Yeah.
Some kind of issue. People pleaser is what they call.
That's what Heaven calls me all the time.
Oh, Courtney calls me that too. Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing. Probably has something to do with some kind of childhood trauma, but
I think it started with me in that trailer. Well, 16-year-old.
I mean, if you're willing to go to those lengths to please somebody, you'll do anything for the rest of your life.
At that point in time, I was a penis pleaser.
Yeah. at least you assume so.
I think. Yeah. It's way back in there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I try not to think about that stuff too much. Anyways, don't want to fucking even talk about it.
You know, that was the first thing me and you started talking about at Baraboo when we met in person. We literally, you got a cigarette, I got a beer. We sat at the table. So what about those molestations, huh?
Those really happened? How bad was it? Mm-hmm. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, welcome to Dark Topic Gallows, Episode 1, The Windshield Murderer. I'm your host, Jack Luna, and with me, I have Kent Chungus. How you doing there, Kent Chungus?
Doing good on this episode of Brutal.
Yes, that is what it is. Thanks for saying that. So since I switched over from 1159 to the Dark Topic Patreon, I thought it would just be wise to go fresh, clean slate. But for those who miss Brutal, this is basically Brutal. It's just called Dark Topic Gallows now. And the whole catalog of Brutal is available on Patreon as well. And also for the Dark Topic like audience, this could possibly be something that we pop in once in a while onto the main feed for people to check out. So we're not going to pull any punches. But some of those old Brutal episodes, man, I was looking through them, listening through them to see if there was something that I could put out on the public feed just for people to see what Brutal's all about. And those old Brutal episodes are available on Dark Topic's Patreon, by the way, patreon.com/darktopic. And none of them.
No.
None of them can make the cut.
None of that needs to see the light of day ever.
I played it for my girl and she was like, wait a minute. You think this is good? And I'm like, yeah, this one's fucking hilarious. She's like, you guys just did like a whole bit where you're pretending to be two guys who don't think they're gay, but suddenly they're gay and they're clicking their hands and wiping on each other's assholes and stuff.
Funny. Yeah, funny. I'm so against cancel culture. It's ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. I hate it. I think it's the worst thing in the world. But Brutal is one of those things where it came out and then we got canceled. It'd be like, yeah, we deserve that.
We were looking for it, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes things get canceled that I agree with, and Brutal is one of them, and I'm part of it. I'm half of it.
Yeah. So, on to Dark Topic Gallows. So, like I said, Episode 1, The Windshield Murder. Some of you may have heard this case. I'm hoping to bring some facts that you may have never heard, but certainly the way that we handle this will be unlike you've ever heard before, and let's get right into that there, Kent. So it's late October of 2001, a place called Cobb Park. It's a shady patch of Fort Worth, Texas. And I don't mean shady like you might go there with a lawn chair to enjoy lemonade on a hot day. I mean shady like you might go there to suck something stupid down your throat like crack smoke or a hobo's crooked dick.
Oh.
And we're off to a start here, right?
We are. We're rolling. We're rolling in it. Hobo dicks and crack smoke. I'm already feeling comfortable. And this is your sweet spot.
Yes. Yeah. Gregory Biggs, a 37-year-old self-employed bricklayer, is laid out on a park bench here in the middle of the night, broken and alone, a victim of a cold world, one where he never stood a chance. You know, Kent, you see these guys in the streets are laid out on park benches, you know, homeless people, and I don't know about you, but I often wonder if I could get away, you know, with murdering one of them, you know?
I mean, you're a monster, because for me, it's just rape. I could rape that guy. Nobody would say anything.
There was this guy, Leroy and I were talking about it. He was going to do it for Excuse Me, That's Illegal, but it was a little too dicey. And it was, where was it? I think it was in China. And this little Asian guy was going up to homeless people when they were sleeping, taking their dicks out of their pants and sucking them until they woke up and then running away.
That's kind of fun, though. I mean, if I was asleep on a park bench, right, and I woke up and a little Asian man was sucking my penis and he just ran off, I would just giggle to myself and put my dick back in my pants. Be like, nobody's going to believe this.
Yeah. And as a homeless person, you'd be like, thanks for cleaning me off, you know?
Exactly. Got a BJ and a clean.
That was the thing about it that didn't make his pockets called Excuse Me, That's Illegal. That's so funny. Like, you wake up, some little Asian dude sucking your homeless dick. Excuse me.
You think that's illegal. You just encountered a cryptid.
Yeah. Like, what in the world, man?
Is that a goblin? What just happened?
Get back here, you little whippersnapper.
And I like to think in my head, I like to picture he doesn't run straight off, he runs in zigzags.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like jumping over trash cans and
wiping his lips and licking his fingers.
Yep. At one point, he jumps up and clicks his heels together.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Chewing on the schmegma.
I mean, there was a whole conversation we could have had there just about, you know, you wonder where they came from. Like, when you see a homeless guy on the street, I always think to myself, like, what was it that led to this person being in this situation? You almost want to ask
how did
them,
we
right?
get here?
How did you get here? Like, was it one moment that just suddenly turned? I worked in homeless shelters where some guys were like that. They'd lost their job and then, you know, they couldn't pay their rent and they just don't have anybody to fall back on and they're on the street. And they bounce back fairly quickly because you give them opportunities through the shelter for work and temp agencies and stuff. But then you got the types who are mentally ill, say, or just been doing it for so long that doesn't matter how many opportunities you offer them, they're still coming back tomorrow night.
Yeah. And that's where I think mental illness, that's the difference.
And in this story, that's what we'll hear a little bit of his backstory now about how he got to this point, and mental illness is certainly involved. By all accounts, Greg Biggs, again, he was 37 years old. He was a loner, though not by choice. He just couldn't maintain relationships, and apparently he was bipolar as well as a schizophrenic, so that didn't help too much. He was hungry for social interaction and to be accepted. He was notorious for going overboard with prospective friends and lovers. As a result, Greg was perpetually bitter after being ghosted or taken advantage of by people that he had tried to invite into his life.
You probably identify pretty heavily with this. Yeah.
We just had a conversation before we started this about us being people pleasers, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that he falls into that category. Greg was a little much for most people, basically, Kent.
Okay.
And we all know those kind of people. I try when I see that happening to certain guys. You know they're a little off. It could be mental illness. It could just be that they're socially awkward, but they're trying. But it's a mistake more often than not because showing them any kindness, you might be the only one who's done that, and now they're attached to you.
Yeah.
They won't leave you alone.
No good deed goes unpunished.
So this desperation to be accepted and loved is how he'd ended up homeless. Giving all of his money away to a girl he'd been infatuated with when she claimed to be in dire financial trouble. Because of this unhealthy relationship that he'd been in before he became homeless, Greg eventually began missing payments on his truck because he was giving her all the money he was making bricklaying, and he couldn't make the payments on that truck. So he lost the truck, and that truck he needed for the bricklaying jobs, and that truck was soon repoed.
There's the first domino.
Yep. Yep. And of course, the girl left him once the money ran out, right? And then Greg soon after lost his house because he was unable to make consistent money without a truck. And to make matters worse, his schizophrenia and bipolar disorder were acting up on account of Gregory being unable to afford his medication. So you said the domino, and that was the rest of it falling right there.
Yeah, and I think the medication is probably where, you ever seen the domino videos where it usually splits into like three different?
Mm-hmm.
That medication was probably the split.
Yeah.
Like it's unstoppable.
The trident of dominoes falling that became.
Yeah.
So he was broke, heartbroken, and unable to think straight. Greg began to spiral, ending up a regular at the homeless shelter in Fort Worth, Texas.
There are worse places to be homeless. Warm, dry.
Yeah, there are worse places. Like where I live. You couldn't go at night in the
cold,
winter here.
Cold, wet, snow, hornets. Hornets and snow. You know, yep. God would allow those two horrible things to be in the same place. But there you are, Jack.
So he's like, take your work wherever you can. They're offering it. Like I said, they would do at the homeless shelter that I worked at as well. He's probably doing temp work or whatever. They say masonry, and he's a bricklayer, so I guess it's a form of masonry. But, I mean, it's a bit of a stretch, right? He's not he's not building parliament buildings.
Well, I think masonry covers, like, that's a broad spectrum. I mean, he could be just bricklaying or laying sidewalks or fireplaces or... That's a good paying job, though.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. It's a hard on your body. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not that I would know. So, you know, he was taking work wherever he could, but life was suddenly super fucked up for the 37-year-old Gregory Biggs. Homeless shelters often have a curfew, so perhaps that's how Gregory Biggs ended up on his way to the park bench at 3 a.m. on October 26th of 2001. Biggs aimlessly walks along the shoulder of a 6-lane Fort Worth highway, confused, possibly manic, disillusioned certainly with his lot in life, lower than he'd ever been, when yet another cold-hearted woman comes flying into his life, completely blindsiding the poor guy. His mother would later say of this time period that her boy was, quote, on the upswing. He was getting back to a good life. Now, I don't know how true that could be. Things have to be pretty bad where an upswing includes stumbling along the side of a highway at 3 a.m. while destitute and homeless. Right?
Yeah, if that's the upswing, what was the bottom line?
I think she was just trying to be positive and insert herself into the media after this all happened. Like, if you cared that much, maybe you should have let him stay there.
Yeah, where were you, lady?
Yeah, he was getting back to a good life, she says. But perhaps in the grand scheme of things, for a guy like Greg Biggs, things were actually looking up in some form. Perhaps he'd found a 2-for-1 coupon for a breakfast sandwich at McDonald's while sifting through a garbage can the previous day. I don't know. We don't have that information.
That's the start of the upswing. Ah, things are looking up.
These are the jokes, people.
Get an Egg McMuffin. Got that blowjob yesterday on the bench?
For that little Asian man?
That little Asian man?
Things were apparently looking up for him when his time ran out. Speaking of looking up, the young woman coming down the highway behind Greg at this time at 3 a.m., her name is Shantae Millard. She isn't looking up at all. Shantae, a 25-year-old nursing aide, was headed home after a Friday night of drinking, doing drugs, and partying at the club. She's maybe fiddling with the radio. And I have a few hits from the time. I know you enjoy this, Kent.
I do.
Before we get to the major hit, I think by now we all see it coming. Let's see how these strike you, Kent.
You say it's 2001?
2001,
Can
October.
Can I take a guess?
Yes.
One of them has to be a little John and the East Side Boys song.
Oh, I don't have that on my list. I just picked some of the more popular ones. How about I play you a little snippet of each and see if you can guess it within 5 seconds?
Okay.
Here we go. The first one. That's right.
Yeah.
All right, you got that. I don't want to get a copyright striked. All right, so Missy Elliott, One Minute Man.
Yeah.
It's fitting because he's got about 1 minute. Misdemeanor
Elliot. Yeah.
Dude, I can't believe that you hear these things, but then when you read them, you still have to fuck it up every time. Everybody knew it was misdemeanor, but just because the way that you read things.
And after I finish recording here, I'm going to go make me a bologna sandwich.
Have myself a lasagne, possibly, for dinner. Lasagna. Here's another one for you. Let's see if you can figure this one out quick.
That's Britney Spears.
Uh-huh. Anyways.
It's Britney Spears. What is the name of that song? I know it's Britney Spears.
It's I'm a Slave for You.
I'm a slave. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
It was before she lost her mind. Her Instagram, disturbing.
Yeah, you've said. Now I check it out, too. It is disturbing. It's a whole new world of strangeness for her. It seemed like she got out of it, but she's right back in it.
What is going on there, man? Is she being held at gunpoint?
Well, you mean with like the naked photos?
The dancing in her house, mm-hmm. constantly. Like, it's almost like she's perpetually stuck in the head of like a 13-year-old girl.
She might be. She might be, man. All right, I got one more for you. These all kind of hit home when it comes to like what happens in this story. I remember Slave for You, 1 minute. I'll just tell you because in about 1 minute, something's going to happen to this man.
I tell you what, if I get hit by a car and they're playing Slave for You by Britney Spears, I'm going to have a word with the man upstairs at the gates.
Yeah. Yeah, they let me in on that one. That was the last thing ringing in my ears.
Couldn't have been Pink Floyd.
Slave for You. Or even 1 minute, man. You know, it's like I don't feel like grooving right now.
Yeah, I didn't want to die by somebody listening to Missy Miss D'Amore.
All right, here's the last one. This is a tough one.
Okay.
But it's the most fitting for this story. And all of these around October of 2001. So absolutely, she was at a club and she was most definitely. I'm going to guarantee Slave for You came on because it came out in September. 1 minute, man. Why wouldn't it be playing at the club at that time if it was out just that year, right?
Right.
And then we got this one, which had to have been playing. So here we go. No?
I don't even have a guess at who's singing it.
All right, it's a tough one if you haven't heard it before. It might be a little bit out of your age range, actually. Her name is Blue Cantrell, and the name of this song is Hit 'Em Up Style.
Oh,
also
wow.
Known as
playing.
Also known as Oops.
That's so perfect.
So her in that song, she's going, Oops, there goes the dreams we had. Oops. So
he didn't have any dreams. You know, I don't know why this has got me thinking about talking about songs playing on loop. Mm-hmm. Me and my ex-wife used to go to gay clubs all the time, right?
Right.
Because she had a bunch of lesbian friends, so I would go drink at gay clubs. Mm-hmm. Gay clubs, they still might do it now, I don't know, but at the time, it seems like the one constant in every gay club was that song, We Fell in Love in a Hopeless Place by Rihanna. Yeah.
Sure.
That plays. Sure. I don't know why gay people love that song so much. It was just like the only song. We fell in love in a hopeless place.
Yeah. I get it. Because maybe like a lot of them feel like in a hopeless situation, like in an odd situation. I can't imagine, especially back in like the 90s and stuff, trying to find a man or a girl organically without going to a gay bar to go meet up with them. It must have been really, really difficult.
And even then, you had to worry about Dahmer.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You did. Well, I used to go to gay clubs too, but my experience was probably a little bit different from yours.
Yeah, you were definitely there for different reasons.
I was so young going to those things, man. They would just let you in back then too.
And you wouldn't even go to them because you had gay friends.
No, I was just tagging along with my dad. Trying to smoke some crack. So, yeah, going into the bathroom, seeing dudes blowing each other in the glory holes.
Oh, yeah. Dude, gay bathrooms are wild. That's the...
Yeah.
That land is lawless.
They let it rip.
Yeah. Please tell me that's bottom for you.
For me, no, I wasn't getting banged.
No, I don't mean like you were the bottom. I mean that's rock bottom.
Oh, no. No, it got much worse. Rosetta Stone, everybody. You know, for a long time, I've been wanting to go to Japan, but the thing holding me back is that I'm intimidated by the language. And that's why I've been going pretty hard at the Rosetta Stone service. I want to be able to take my girl to Japan, a place that she's always wanted to go, and suddenly just start speaking fluent Japanese at the restaurant. That's my goal. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program available on a desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. It's been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users, 25 languages offered. It's fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in a bunch of ways. There's an intuitive process where you pick up the language naturally, first with words and phrases, then sentences. They have the speech recognition feature. Built-in true accent gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, and it's an amazing value, especially with this offer here. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Dark Topic listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. All right, everybody, my life in a book. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom may have given you a lifetime of stories, and this is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm looking forward to using it with my lady and having her do it for my kids. I think it'd be a cool thing for them to have. Something quite different. Something to hang on to. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code DARKTOPIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code DARKTOPIC for 10% off today. All right, man, here we go. So Shantae, she's rolling down the street. She's fiddling with the radio. She's not looking up. We were talking about how things are looking up, maybe for Gregory Biggs. She's not looking up. She's a little whacked on ecstasy. She's high on weed. And, of course, she's drunk. She's weaving down the highway in her little shitty brown Chevy Cavalier. You remember those cars?
Oh, I don't know. But somehow, yeah, of course I remember. But somehow I knew it was a Cavalier.
Yeah, yeah. And she's bopping to the above average beats of the time. I must say some real bangers we just went through right there when she, oops, there goes the Gregory Biggs at full speed, gets slammed from behind on this 6-lane highway. She's over to the side, probably going maybe even a little slower, just trying to like not get arrested because she knows she's all fucked up.
Yeah.
He's walking along in the dark along the side of the road, and at whatever speed she was going at on the highway, hits Gregory Biggs from behind, sending the poor bastard through the passenger side windshield. He torpedoes in through it. And, you know, oops. So, Shantae, freaking out, brings the car to a halt on the side of the highway that's not very busy at this time because there's no witnesses to this. Amazingly, no witnesses to this. And this must take a bit of time because she's screaming, freaking out. She gets out of the car. And she comes around, and remember, this woman is a nurse's assistant, nursing aide, so she knows some form of, like, I don't know. He doesn't need CPR. I mean, he needs a surgeon probably at this point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she should be fairly calm in these types of situations and know exactly what to do. What do you do? I mean, you should take him to the hospital, right? She might not have had a cell phone, being 2001. I didn't get one to 2007. but I was a little behind.
I think when did you get one? 2004.
Yeah, so one. It might have been a little odd to have one in 2001.
Yeah, still relatively new.
Mm-hmm. So she's freaking out. The man, Gregory Biggs, he's alive still. He's semi-conscious, moaning, bleeding all over the place. He'd been hit from behind and gone flying headfirst through the windshield. It's not clear to Shante or Greg yet, but he's stuck pretty bad in that windshield. He'll need to be carefully removed, likely with the jaws of life or... Uh-oh, what's Shante doing? She's out of the car and yanking on Greg's legs. That's not what she should be doing.
No.
Especially since one of them is severed in half and the other one's broken horribly.
That's not procedure for a nurse.
She's decided she needs to get the body out of the car and get on with her night, which is not good for Greg. So like I said, 6-lane highway, no witnesses so far. Her brother works a half a mile away as a firefighter. He's working right now. She knows this. He's at a fire station that she's gone to see him at and stuff. She could drive him right there. They'd help him. And there's also a hospital nearby, but she chooses to do none of these things. She can't get him out. She gets back in the driver's seat and begins to drive again. Headlights off.
With his feet dangling out the front of the windshield?
His broken-ass legs hanging out the front of the windshield, his whole lower half poking out from the windshield like some crude Halloween prank. Remember, this is October 26th, right?
And because of the nature of the legs being broken, if you saw this, you would think it wasn't even real.
That's what I was...
they're just swinging like a tetherball.
You're hearing the moaning, maybe? Okay, so I'll get to this part. We'll talk more about that because that's, like, maybe that's the what you're saying is maybe that's what people would have thought. We're 5 days away from Halloween. She makes it off of the highway unnoticed, and I have it already written in here. I can't help but stop here for a moment to behold how insane this whole scene is. Like, if I was walking home at 3 a.m., you know what it's like, just walking home from a party down like a dark street, like in a regular neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I saw that car drive by 5 days before Halloween, and its legs are all hanging out, and there's blood all over the place, and she's playing, oops, there goes a choice I made, oops. And she's fucking bobbing her head, and you can hear him moaning slightly. I'd be like, that is a fucking awesome Halloween float, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They must have created that thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call the cops
no,
if I saw it go by.
Absolutely not. Even if I knew it was real. Not a goddamn snitch.
Greg is alive still. By this point, he is coming back to reality somewhat, but he's smashed up pretty bad. What I mean to reality, so he was alive when she hit him, but he wasn't able to speak or anything initially after impact. He was fucking out of it if he wasn't out of it before.
It'd be like getting clocked by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly. You don't even have time to tense up for it. Just
even worse. I mean, it'd be like getting hit by a Chevy Cavalier at full speed on a highway from
behind.
Which
for a Chevy Cavalier is like 55 miles an hour.
Oh, man. All right. But, he smashed up really bad. The drive, it's jostling him around. He's got metal stuck into his sides. You know, there's glass. It's all digging deeper into his body. I mentioned already, but I should reiterate that his right arm and his right leg are badly broken, shattered, really. And his left leg has taken the worst of it. It's been nearly severed off completely by the impact. So he gets hit like at the knees by this thing because it's fairly low to the ground as well.
Yeah.
It hits and almost knocks his left leg right off. He goes through the passenger side window. I guess she's lucky it didn't go through the driver's side, that she was on that side of the road. She must have been on the right side and hit him with the passenger side. Makes sense. And, his left leg severed off completely. It's hanging by threads at the knee. He's in shock. He's moaning. He's starting to ask for help. But his injuries prevent him from making a whole lot of noise. When he does try to speak, there's blood spraying from his mouth. He's bleeding internally, and he needs help badly. Later, medical professionals, after the autopsy, would say that if he had got help within the next 2 hours, he would have survived easily. Like, these were broken bones. There's some internal bleeding, but there was nothing like an artery slashed. But this nurse's aide has no interest in helping him out. Her eyes are cold, focused on the task at hand. She must get home. And eventually, she makes her way through the back streets to her small Fort Worth home, where she pulls into the driveway. And the driveway goes on an incline, and her house is a little bit on a bit of a hill and a little bit further back. She opens up her garage and drives in with Greg Biggs still squirming in her windshield. Once in the small garage, she exits her car, turns on the light, takes another look at him, apologizes, apparently, allegedly. He's like, help, help. He can't scream or yell. It's too painful, probably. We don't know.
He's got glass in his sides. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like this isn't the first time this has happened.
There's been a couple of movies and stuff that covered it.
Stuck.
Stuck is the one movie.
Minu Suvari.
Mm-hmm.
So they picked a white girl to play.
Play the African American girl.
Yeah.
The black girl who's actually Shantae's black. If it matters, Greg Biggs is white. It actually does matter later because she makes a comment about something to do with race, but we'll get to that. Another show you might recognize this from listening is Fargo. I don't remember it, but my girl said that I think in the second season of Fargo, the TV series,
yeah,
there was a scene just like this. So this idea has been repurposed a couple of times.
Life imitates art.
Yeah.
Art imitates life.
Art imitates life. Mm-hmm. So she turns off the light to the garage, goes in. There's a door that gives her entry to her house inside the garage and just closes the door and leaves him in there. It's around 3:30 a.m. at this point. Shantae can't help herself but check on the man every 10 minutes or so. Of course, Shantae isn't concerned with Greg's health. She's just hoping he won't be moving or moaning each time she flips on the lights out there. But each time he is. Greg, like we said, isn't mortally wounded, but he is bleeding out.
Mangled.
And he's weakly trying to pull himself into the car. You know the little handle on the door? Just to open it or whatever. Not the latch to open it, but the handle. Yeah, the old shit bar. He's grabbing onto that and trying to pull himself in. Later, those fine handprints on there. He's quietly mumbling pleas for assistance each time the lights come on. But each time, Shantae coldly plunges him back into darkness.
This woman is a fucking monster.
Yeah, I'd say. And after an hour or so of this, she calls her friend. Her friend's nickname is T-Fry.
White guy?
Oh, actually African American, but I thought so too. They worked together at the hospital, and this is a female. They had been partying together that night, and T-Fry, hearing the panic in her friend's voice, drives over, still a little high and drunk herself, to see what's wrong when Shantae tells her that she needs help. So we have two nurses' aides soon watching over Greg Biggs as he slowly bleeds out. T-Fry, upon seeing what the problem is, comes up with a plan. The plan is to go back to her house and sleep. They can't sleep here. And they'll come back in 5 hours or so to see if he's dead yet.
Yeah, you can't sleep with a mangled homeless man whining and bitching in your garage.
No, man, the feng shui's off of the whole house. I mean, the vibe's off, right?
Can't sleep with a fucking cracker stuck in your windshield.
Like a bug, right?
Yeah.
Like a bug hit the windshield and just squirming in there. This gigantic
215-pound mosquito. Yeah.
Oh, fuck, man. All right, so they let him bleed out. They come back around lunchtime. Shantae and T-Fry nervously check the garage, and there's some relief when they find Greg Biggs not moving. He's dead. Now what? Well, lucky for Shantae, she has a man in her life, Cleet Jackson, that like T-Fry. What race do you figure Cleet Jackson is?
Cleet, that's definitely a white guy.
No, wrong again. That is an African-American male.
I was going to go Asian.
Yeah, you're 0 for 2, 3. Is willing to involve himself. Cleet is willing to involve himself in a ghastly crime with no questions asked. He even brings along a cousin, Herbert Cleveland.
Asian.
African-American once again, to help out once the enormity of the situation is apparent. So together, Cleet and Herbert manage to get the body out of Shantae's windshield. They then wrap Greg Biggs up in a carpet, and sometime after midnight, so this is going into the 27th of October, happy 21st birthday to me right at this point, they drive him out to Cobb Park and lay him out on a park bench, which I mentioned in the beginning, and how I tried to do some foreshadowing.
I like
him
what you did there,
out,
yeah.
I worked on it a little bit. And someone eventually calls the police the next morning when they realize that that homeless guy's not sleeping in a sleeping bag. He's rolled up in a carpet, you know? And that's a strange-looking sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Also, he's dead.
That, well, that as well.
Yeah, it's clear by his face.
The dead part is really alarming.
And the blood dripping out. Actually,
it was a small Asian man that found him.
Right. This guy's limp as fucking all hell. Yeah, can't get him up.
Usually moves a little bit.
So while investigators try to figure out what the hell happened to Greg Biggs, they can figure out that it's him. I believe there's a wallet on him. I am making that up, but they do figure out that it is Greg Biggs. Eventually, they initially assume the homeless man had gotten mixed up in some criminal activity and had been tortured by what's gone on with his body here before being dumped in the park. Shante Millard and her willing accomplices do a half-assed job getting rid of evidence, burning the passenger seat in her yard, and wiping the car off some, but not much. Shante and T. Fry continue partying on weekends when they're off from the hospital, but the fun comes to an end in February, so that's, what, like 5 months later?
That sounds like they were really devastated by this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really shook up by it.
Yeah.
No, they're playing the smooth game, continuing as per usual. Well, I don't think they gave a shit, actually, because when the reason they get caught is because Shante brags to a group of friends when she's hammered one night at one of these clubs about, quote, killing a white man with her car.
Oh, it's a good woman.
So she brags about this, but it's a bad idea because one of them doesn't like Shante, and she calls in a tip to the police after hearing about this. Investigators look into Shante and soon become suspicious enough to obtain a warrant by the way she's behaving. When they get in the garage, she doesn't even get rid of the car or nothing.
This is a fucking idiot. This is a nurse. This, it's just people's lives depend on this fucking idiot.
Yeah. Dude, check it out. There's the car with the passenger seat out. They find the passenger seat in the backyard just burnt. So why'd you burn it? But also there's blood. There's blood on the floor, a pool of it. There's bloody handprints in the passenger door that I mentioned earlier grabbing onto the oh shit bar.
That's damn, what an idiot.
Yeah.
This is 5 months later.
Yeah, man. They match the blood to Greg Biggs.
Windshields in the corner of the garage.
This is not a difficult investigation. And I'm wrapping it up right now, Kent. It seems like there should be a lot more, but there really isn't. T. Fry testifies against Shante in exchange for immunity, which is granted. Cleet Jackson and Herbert Cleveland, who I can't believe these fucking guys involved themselves in this mess for really no gain at all. I mean, Cleet, from what I heard, was like cheating on her and stuff. Like, he didn't really give a fuck. But it was like, as soon as he was involved, it was like, well, I'm your ride or die, baby, or whatever the fuck
is
happened.
Is she hot?
No.
What's her name?
Her name is Shante Mallard.
Shante. How do you spell that?
Shante. Mallard, like the duck. Mallard.
Shante Mallard.
I mean, she's kind of cute. But I mean, I wouldn't call her like a knockout.
Nah, she's fucking busted.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible that he would go to take this kind of a risk. And same as his cousin, who's not even anywhere near involved in this, completely puts himself into the situation for no gain. There's no money involved, no nothing. They're just helping each other out, I guess, tight friends. But they're not that tight. So it's just madness to me that they got this involved. A bucket list thing. Maybe they wanted to get rid of a body at some point in their lives with a carpet. But what happened was the reason why they put Greg Biggs into the park is because one of them, it was either Cleet or Herbert or T. Fry, has a heart and does want the family to be able to find the body.
Okay.
They were going to burn it. But they
That's
decided
a nice olive branch that you just extended. It's good for them to leave the corpse.
For anyone in the public to see in a park where a child could have found it the next morning.
Wrapped up in a carpet.
So they would have probably got away with this because the like I said, the investigators thought that he's homeless and he this park was not like a nice place to be. They had like cameras and stuff set up because there were a lot of drug deals and things that went on there. So they totally thought that he had gotten involved in some criminal activity and got beaten up over trying to rob somebody or something like that. It was, they weren't that interested. And this tip came
in.
Got
beaten up, but who is he fighting? Goku?
Baraka. Yeah, man. So what are the sentences here? T-Fry gets off in exchange for immunity for testifying against Shantae. Cleet Jackson and Herbert Cleveland each get 10 years for tampering with evidence, which is a little surprising to me that that's all that they got. I mean, that's a little...
Yeah.
I mean, tampering with evidence to me could be...
Yeah, I'll throw the knife in the river on my way to work.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not even going to drive out of my way to do it. I'm just passing by the river. I'll toss it in the river for you.
Not drag a man out of a windshield,
no.
Roll him up in a carpet, and dump him in a park for you.
I think that's desecrating a corpse.
Yeah, I know. Well, they get 10 years apiece. I think that Herbert actually got 9 for whatever reason. And Shantae Millard is given 50 years, which means she'll be eligible for parole after 25 from that point, which means that she will be eligible for parole in the year 2027.
Oh, absolutely disgusting. The racism of these cops.
Yeah, you nailed the heart of the issue here, Ken. I'm glad I had you along for that. All the racial tension that was in this case that we created. So that'll do it for the first Dark Topic Gallows. Thanks for coming along with me, Ken. Do you have anything to talk further about on that? Or I think it's pretty clean cut. I mean,
pretty clean cut. Yeah, it's... It's very hit and run.
Yeah, just keep on moving along to the next one. And the next one will come in 2 weeks. We're planning on doing these every 2 weeks for the $5 tier. What's the $5 tier called now? Station 5, kind of like a train station. And $13 tier is called Floor 13, like the 13th floor of an apartment that they usually don't mark off. These are available for both. If you want more content, Kent and I do a podcast called Something Else, the $13 tier. I do the Monthly Monster, which is just a really crazy additional Dark Topic case each month. And I'm going to try to do some Dark Topic YouTube stuff as well. But two of these a month at $5 tier. I hope that you guys will be excited about that. It's basically Brutal is back. We were doing it once every 4 months. We were starting to do it. I missed it. I know you did too.
I did too.
Always talking
a lot. Because that's our hangout time.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm excited about this.
And for the listener, the way we're going to be doing these, this Brutal refurbished,
yeah,
is Jack's going to research one, and then I'm going to research one. And then so the host and co-host is going to flip-flop every episode. So I'll be taking the lead one episode, the next one Jack, and so on and so forth.
The cool part of it, but the thing that we changed too, is that you didn't know what you were getting into coming into this. I mean, you had an idea, right? You knew the case, but you didn't have to do any research.
I didn't do any research.
Yeah.
I knew a guy got hit by a car. That was the extent of my knowledge of this whole thing. I didn't know that, you know, there was all this racism and everything that...
Yeah. Well, next time I'll come in blind too, and it'll be fun that way because then you have the co-host kind of hearing it the same as the audience, and strange things begin to happen as happened with this one. Anyways, thanks again, Kent, and for everybody listening, we'll see you next time on another episode of
Not Brutal.
Oh, Not Brutal. Dark Topic Gallows.